us pray. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh and hasten the coming of your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In a parish like St. Paul's, whose own founding precedes the establishment of this nation, this is a place that has history. This is a church that has been formed and reformed again and again by the twists and turns of history. And yet, this place is no museum. We are Easter people who look ahead and set our hopes and vision on Jesus, who is our foundation and whose story is still being written by all who trust God's promises and all who are open to become what we are called to become. In this day, in this place, in this chapter of history, our opening collect acknowledges that our nation's founding created something unique in the world of that time: liberty. Now, however the founders might have defined liberty, the people of our nation have ever since struggled with its interpretation and its enactment, drawing us from vigorous discourse about rights to debates, and from civil debate to civil war, and from civil resistance to civil rights, and from struggle to struggle, as people strive to interpret liberty. People who practice living into the ways of the truth of God are uniquely called to this struggle of interpretation. To interpret liberty through the wisdom and love of God, revealed through Scripture and tradition. You may have recognized today's gospel. I remember what you preached on last time about being perfect. Today's gospel comes from the Sermon on the Mount, which is a bit like Jesus' founding document for us. Jesus stands on the top of a mountain just like Moses, and with authority proclaims that we are to be this way and not that way. Whenever we wonder what the core message of Christ is, the Sermon on the Mount is a good place to start. So we should pay attention when part of our readings, a sign for Independence Day, include the Sermon on the Mount. The messages are pretty blunt, and I'll just summarize them for you. God is impartial and shows no favoritism. God commands that we practice care for those who lack the necessities of life, especially the foreigner. You are to live with the same faith and obedience as Abraham, who never saw the fulfillment of the promises given to him, but who trusted God's promises nonetheless. So that covers the Old Testament and the Hebrew letter. Are you ready for the gospel? You are to be perfect as God is perfect. Specifically, we are to demonstrate care for our enemy and pray for those who hurt us. How are we to do this? Is there anything that our forebears can teach us? I think it's worth noting that all the founding fathers of this nation claim to be Christians, most of them Episcopalians. But their interpretation of God's truth was quite different from ours today. We live in different worlds. Christians vehemently argued about abolishing and maintaining slavery. And both claimed that God and Scripture were on their side. The same things happened in the 60s with civil rights. The same thing happened with interracial marriage, with the ordination of women, with LGBTQ issues, and on and on. Christians on both sides claim certainty and justify their positions with Scripture. So one thing is very, very clear. Our faith involves struggle. Now, too often, I think we hear this lesson about loving our enemy, and we immediately go to the worst enemy soldier we can think of. At one time, it was Yankees, then Germans, maybe Russians, and on and on. And now it's Islamic State radicals. But frankly, I find that too hard and too abstract, because we are not called to be hypothetical followers of Jesus, people who say, well, if I ever met this person on a certain place, what might I do? Our call is to love right here and right now. What Jesus shows us is about caring for others. Not as an act of will, but, or not as an act of feeling, but as an act of will. Willing ourselves to care for the welfare of the one who does not care for you. I'm confident that everyone here knows someone that they disagree with. You might be sitting next to them. Don't know. I may be that person. I may be a person whose beliefs bring your blood to a boil. Here's an example. There are many historic Episcopal churches, many, especially in the South and the Atlantic, that contain symbols related to the Confederacy. Some are memorials given for young sons. All kinds of things. About 2 years ago, following the racially motivated massacre at Emmanuel Church in Charleston, some of those parishes began to struggle with how to interpret their call. Now, these are questions that easily divide and enrage people. Good and faithful people hold fast and argue fiercely on either side. Issues like this that bring contemporary concerns into direct contact with historical concerns can make enemies of otherwise friendly and peaceful people. I think we all get what I'm talking about. And this is the place where we can learn something about loving your enemy. Because not all parishes handle this well. There are a number of parishes, St. Paul's in Richmond, Virginia, who decided to have very tough conversations. They decided that the people who felt strongly on both sides would agree that they cared more about interpreting the gospel than they cared about their anger. And the scary thing about that process is you don't know where it will go. Because in order to enter that process, you have to lay control aside. Preconceived notions about, well, I know we're going to talk, but this is how it's actually going to go. That is painful. That is hard. That is love. The peace of God is not tranquility. It is costly love that breaks your heart. But the good news is that God replaces your heart of stone with a heart of flesh and enlarges your spirit and guides your way. So whoever your enemies in Augusta may be, I can assure you that God is calling you to the ministry of reconciliation. All people are of one God, one blood. We share one planet with finite resources. God calls each of us to acknowledge how small our vision is and to accept instead the perfection offered through following the way of Jesus. Jesus who is life, Jesus who is peace, Jesus who is wholeness. Wholeness, that is the word translated as perfection. Wholeness. Remember this, that when humanity became enemies of God, when we publicly shamed and tortured and crucified Jesus, we executed God. And God's response was not to flood the earth, or to rain down fire, or release legions of angels. The Creator responded to violence with perfect mercy and life-resurrecting love. That is the foundation story that we take part in when we pray the Eucharistic prayer together. The sacraments represent unfailing mercy and life-giving love in bread and wine made body and blood, restored from their brokenness, just like us. Freely offered to friends and enemies alike, to all who are willing to reach two hands out and receive God's grace. So that we may become what we are called to become, missionaries of God's love to all people, carrying out the work of reconciliation to the whole world. Amen.